This morning to 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. Good to have our visitors with us today, and we want everybody just to make themselves at home, and hope we've come to worship the Lord together. And we're going to read a few verses. I'd actually written a little bit about this. I was studying some things, and the Sunday that we did not have church back, I even forget when it was. I think it was right around before or after Thanksgiving, but we had one Sunday. And I started studying this and sort of laid it aside, and I hadn't really had any plans to pick it back up, but I got to looking at it again and saw some things. And so I want to preach out of 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 this morning. We're going to skip around just a little bit, and I'll give you just a moment to turn there. It's on page 470 if you've got a Scofield Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2 to begin with, and then we'll skip down to verse number 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin." Then it goes on down, talks about these men. And down in verse number 8 it says, "And of the Gadites there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were swift as the roes upon the mountains." Then it goes on down, it tells the names of these men, talks about them. Pick up in verse number 17. It said, "And David went out to meet them, and answered and said unto them, If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it." Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee." Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Let's pray. Lord, we do come today, and we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that we're able to come together into thy house as thy people this morning. And Lord, we ask that, God, we would be able to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We realize that just in and of ourselves, we're able to do nothing. So Lord, we need your help today. We ask, God, that you would just speak to us as we go into this new year. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would search our hearts. The Spirit of God would convict us and reveal in our lives what we need to do to further serve you and be what we ought to be as your children. God, if there's anybody here today that's lost, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. I pray you'd help us as thy people, Lord, to be what we ought to be. I pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder. Lord, there's a lot that are sick, that are not able to be here today. A lot of people just out of, sort of back in their normal routine yet because of the holidays and everything. But Lord, we just pray for those that are traveling, those that are having to go to funerals and things this week. And we just really pray that you would help them. Help us, Lord, in the days ahead with all the cold weather coming in and people in this country, Lord, that are suffering because of it. Lord, we pray for them. And dear God, just help us right now. We'll thank you for all you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read verse number 8 one more time just to sort of get started this morning. It said, and the Gadites, and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, and could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. And just by way of what's going on in this passage of Scripture, I'm not going to give the background of it in great detail, but we find David, and he's actually exiled from his own country. He's not in his home country. He's outside of the land. He's outside of a nation that he's really destined to rule over. That's interesting if you think about it. He is destined to rule over Israel, but here he is, and he's outside of that nation that he's destined to rule over. He's seen only as a threat by the powers that be. Saul's trying to run him down, and if Saul could get his hands on him, he would surely kill him. That's what he's been trying to do. So David's an exile. He's out of the land. He's seen as a rebel. He's seen as a threat to Saul and to his household. And this is not my message this morning, but there's a lot of preaching in this thought. If you think about it, David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's out of the land in this passage of Scripture, but he's coming again. Isn't that a blessing? You know, that's how it is today. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's out of the land that he's destined to rule over, and he's seen as a threat, and there are those that would love to just get rid of him altogether, but you know what? He's coming again. He might be out of the land this morning, physically speaking, but he's coming again. And so there's a lot of good things in this passage of Scripture that we could bring out and look at this morning. But that's sort of the little background of what's going on here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. And we see some things about these men that we're reading about, and I suppose that they have discerned that nationally speaking, the storm clouds are rising. And the time has come for them. They're going to have to choose sides. They see that there's trouble brewing in the nation. You see, there's this great struggle that's going on between Saul and between David. And so the men of the nation, they see this is going on. I'm sure that they can detect that there's probably going to be a civil war if things keep going the way that they're going. And so they have to choose sides. Are they going to go with Saul? Now, Saul in the Bible is a type of the flesh. You probably know and realize that this morning, that Saul is a type of the flesh. He is a type of right here, right now. But David is a type of the spiritual things. He's a type of the spiritual man, and he represents the future. It might not be right here and right now that David is ruling, but they know and they see in their hearts that David is going to be king over Israel. And so they come to a place where they are going to make a choice between the two. And as I study about these men, there's one phrase in verse number 8 that really caught my attention and got me to studying about this, and it's where it says that they were fit for the battle. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. They were fit for the battle. And there's some great lessons about these men and applications to our lives as Christians today. Now, these are little known men in the Bible. If I were just to pick out some of their names, you would not recognize them like other great men in the Bible. But there's a lot of detail given about these men. And whenever there's a lot of detail given about something, it's there for a reason. And so we're going to look at some of these, what we might say, mighty men of David. And they were fit for the battle. And try to get some lessons from their lives that'll apply to our lives at the beginning of this new year. Now I want to point out, first of all, in verse number 8. And there's 8 things I'm going to show you. So I'm going to move along quickly this morning, going to try to, for sake of time. But First of all, in verse number 8, I'll say this about these men. They were separated. They were separated, first of all. Verse number 8 says, "And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David." First thing it says about them, that they were separated unto David. And I'll say this morning that if we as God's people are going to be fit for the battle in 2014, because I promise you, we're going to have our share of battles. You had your share of battles last year, you're going to have your share of battles this year. If we're going to be fit for the battle in the new year, we also are going to have to be separated. Notice what it says. They separated themselves unto David. Who's David a type of? David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are to be separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That means God's people ought to be different. We ought to look different. We ought to act different. We ought to talk different. We ought to just be different than the world. Not different just for difference sake, but difference because the Lord Jesus Christ saved us and made a new creation out of us. We ought to be different. And if there is no difference between us and the world, then you know what? There's no difference. Why would they want to be saved? What would appeal to a lost and dying world if there's no difference that Christ makes in our lives? But I'm glad today that He makes a difference. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If you're saved by the grace of God, there's going to be a difference in your life. We ought to be separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto our heavenly David. Now, notice how they were separated unto David. The Bible said in verse number 15, now this is great typology in the Bible. What a lesson. Verse number 15. "These are they that went over Jordan in the first month when it had overflown all his banks." Do you know how they got separated unto David? They, first of all, they had to cross Jordan. Jordan in the Bible is not a type of dying and going to heaven. Jordan in the Bible is a type of dying to self and crossing over into the promised land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and a land where the fruits of the Spirit ought to be in our lives. That's what crossing Jordan is a type of. So these great men that we read about in the Bible, how were they separated unto David? They were separated unto David by crossing over Jordan, dying unto self. You know what your greatest problem is in 2014? Same as was last year. Old self. Old me, myself, and I getting in the way of being what I ought to be, doing what I ought to do, serving God. That's what gets in the way of serving the Lord is old self. They cross Jordan. That's a type of death to self and flesh. And notice when they crossed over Jordan. The Bible said in the first month when it had overflown all his banks. You know what that means? That means it was the time of the year when Jordan, you couldn't just go down to the river and walk across. In order to get across, they literally risked their lives. Jordan had overflowed, flooded. It was in flood stage. It was bigger than it was any other time of the year. And they had to fling themselves into Jordan. They literally had to die to self. Boy, what a great struggle. You know what? There's plenty of flesh to drown in. We can get so consumed with ourself and our life that we think sometimes that everything is all about us. But we've got to remember this morning that it's not about us, it's about Him. Everything in our lives is about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to be what we ought to be for Him, we're going to have to die to self. We're going to have to cross across Jordan. And I'm telling you, it's not an easy thing to cross out self.
It's a hard thing to do. I remember one time years ago, I was pastoring over at Forest Grove. And I was struggling with this very thing, just dealing with old self. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul realized that he had to die daily. That's what he said. I die daily. And I would get up in the mornings at that time, and I'd walk up and down our road, and as I walked up and down the road, I'd pray. That was my routine. And so I had got up one morning, I was walking up down Circle Drive there, and I was praying about old flesh getting on me, and figuratively speaking, as I got down to the bottom of the road, I said, Lord, old self today, I just want him to die. I said, there's the creek, I cast him in, he's got to die today, old flesh. Old self. I turned around and walked back up the road, and I began to pray and try to talk to God again. That was my quiet time. I was trying to pray. And by the time I got back up to the top of the road, do you know old flesh had swam up that creek, climbed the bank, jumped back on me just within about 10 or 15 minutes. That's how flesh is. Boy, old self does not die easy, does he? It's hard. It's struggle in this life, but these men, the first thing we find out about them is that they were separated unto David, and they did that at great peril to themselves. They had to cross over Jordan. At the hardest time it was to cross over Jordan. And I believe with all my heart we're living in the hardest time that there's ever been to cross over Jordan. There's more appeal to the flesh than there's ever been before. Young people facing all kinds of things in their lives. Middle-aged, older people. There's all kinds of appeal from the flesh. We've got to get over that. If we're going to be something for God, if we're going to be fit for the battle, if we're going to do anything for David in these last days, our Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be separated unto the Lord. They were separated. Second of all, this morning, they were strong. Look what it says in verse 8. And the Gadites there separated themselves unto David, into the hold, to the wilderness. Look what it says. Men of might. They were strong men. That, no doubt, in my mind, refers to their physical strength that they had. They were strong, capable men. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me say just a few things about strength. Strength, first of all, is physical. That's the first thing we think about. But that is not the only part of being strong. There's the physical part, but there is also the, what we would say, the mental part of being strong. The mental part of being strong, we might describe it like this. That's how much heart somebody's got. That's real important in life. You've got to have some heart. That's how the Davids can conquer the Goliaths. Goliath might be bigger, he might be stronger, but David had more heart. He had more heart. So that's a part of being strong. There's a physical side, there's a mental side, but there is also a spiritual side of being strong. Now, Paul said to the Ephesians, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's a spiritual strength that he's talking about, because let me tell you something this morning. I don't care how strong you are physically speaking, there's always somebody stronger. You might be the biggest guy on the block, but down the block, there's a guy bigger than you. You might be able to whip everybody on this side of the road, but on the other side of the road, there's somebody bigger than you, and you go over there and they'll whip you. And so there's always somebody that's stronger. There's always somebody that has more heart than you do, but if you put your strength with the Lord's strength, you're going to be on the winning side, because you cannot get any stronger than that. That's what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Philippians. And he said, I can do all things. And there's a lot of people in this world, they think that's where that stops. But I'll tell you something this morning. What you can do real good, you can fall flat on your face is what you can do real good. And until you learn to live and walk in the strength of the Lord, that's all you're ever going to do is fall flat on your face. But Paul didn't say, I can do all things, period. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Where's your strength come from this morning? You'd better learn what it means for your strength to come from the Lord. Until you do that, you're always going to fall on your face. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. They were strong men. They were separated men. Number three this morning, they were soldiers. Did you catch that in verse number 8? The Bible said this, that they separated themselves unto David, into the hold of the wilderness, men of might, men of war. That's what the Bible says. They were soldiers. They were men of war. I don't know about you, but if I was going into battle, I'd like to be friends with these men. I think that'd be good to have them on the right hand and on the left in the front of me where I was. I'd want to be friends with them. I would want to be on their side because these men were men of war. They'd been in the battle. They'd been in the fight. They had experience along those lines. They knew what they were getting themselves into when they came to join up with David. Have you ever wondered why God lets you go through so many things in your life? Why do you have all the battles that you have? Why do you have all the struggles that you have? Why are you having all the temptations that you have? Why are you having all the problems that you have? Have you ever thought to yourself, God, maybe God is trying to make a veteran out of you. Maybe God is trying to take you in your life and make somebody that He can count on as being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You've been through the battles, and when you've been through the battles, you're ready to help somebody else. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know the only way? Is to go through the battles. You ever seen a lot of them men, those military men, and they dress up in their uniform, and man, some of them generals, they just about have to rent out another suit to put all their medals on. How come, preacher? Because they've been through the battle. They've been through the battles. You're never gonna really be able to help anybody until God's put you through some battles in your life. But when you go through the battles in your life, and let me tell you this morning, you're not going to win every battle. Did you know that? There's going to be some that you lose. But when you lose a battle in your life, if it don't kill you, you can learn from it. If you put your faith and trust in God, you can still come out victorious. And what you learned last time, that's going to help you next time. God's not trying to kill you. God's trying to get you a place where He can use you in your life for His honor and His glory. And one day He can look up on you and say, now, right there's one of my battle-hardened soldiers. They've been through the fight. I can depend on them. They're always going to be on my side. You notice that's what they said. We'll get down to it. But Olamasiah, he said, David, we're on your side. We're on your side. God wants to make some people that He knows going to be on His side no matter what comes in the battle. And so they were soldiers. And the only way to be a good soldier is to go through some battles. Amen. Amen. They were soldiers. Boy, I'm enjoying this. I hope you're getting something out of it. Number four this morning, I noticed this about them. They were supplied. You cannot have an army if it's not supplied. It's got to have the resources to do what needs to be done. And they had that, it said in verse number 8. Men of might and men of war fit for the battle that could handle shield and buckler. They were supplied. Look in verse number 2. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. And so they were supplied with everything they needed to go into battle. Now, all of that has a spiritual application. We could go over to Ephesians chapter number 6 where Paul told the church at Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. We could find, if we were to study about these men of war, that they also had upon them the whole armor of God. You know, we've got everything we need in this day and time. We've got the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? There's a lot of people in the world, they don't even have the Lord. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got the Lord. David knew how important that was all through the book of Psalms. For example, Psalms 18 verse 1. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. That's what they said over there. In our scripture, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He knew how important it was. No matter what, he knew he had the Lord. We've got the Lord. Does the Lord have us? Has the Lord got you this morning? If you're saved, you've got the Lord, but has the Lord got you? I still believe, like preachers used to preach a long time ago, that we ought to put our all on the altar of sacrifice laid and just give it all to God. God's got all of you. Has He got all of you this morning? You've got Him. We've got the Lord this morning. We've got the Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. We've got truth. We don't need anything else in this day and time. You noticed all these people walking around with their phones? Smartphones. Phones is getting smarter and people's getting dumber. And I'm being serious. Once upon a time, I had in my mind probably 40 or 50 different phone numbers. Now I can't remember my phone number. Because once upon a time, I had to remember the phone numbers. I had to dial it every time, so I remembered it. Now you don't have to remember nothing. And everything has, here's new terminology. There's an app for that. There's an application you can download to remind you how to do everything in your life. We're going to get so dumb, we're going to have to download applications to remember how to tie our shoes. That's what it's going to come to. And somebody will be like, I just can't remember. The rabbit goes around the tree and in the hole. And people can't remember nothing. And I think part of that is we don't have to. We don't exercise our minds. We don't use our minds. But I'm telling you something this morning. We do not need an application from some download somewhere to serve God. We've got everything we need in order to do what God needs to be done. We don't need an app for that. We don't need newfangled in the church. We don't need Hollywood in the church. We don't need worldly applause in the church. We don't need government help in the church to do what needs to be done. We don't need a loan from the bank to do what needs to be done. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need. We're supplied. We cannot look around this morning and say we need this or that. We got everything we need. These men had everything that they needed. They were supplied. But number 5, not only were they supplied, just like we are, they were skilled. Did you notice it said about the shield and buckler? Back up before that. It said in men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler. They were skilled in what they were called to do. They could handle it. Say, can you handle that? Boy, they could. They could handle. That means they were efficient. They were experts in the weaponry that they had. They could handle that. Being supplied is one thing. Being skilled is another thing. You remember a few months ago I preached that message on them left-handed men that could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss. It's out of Judges chapter number 20. And I made me a Bible slingshot. One of them that you swing around your head and you let the rock go. That's the kind of slingshot that David had. And honestly, I could barely hit the broad side of a barn. Our barn. I had it, but I wasn't skilled in it. But the Bible said that there was men in the Bible, they could take that same slingshot and sling a stone at an hair breadth and not miss. Just because you're supplied doesn't mean you're skilled. I was on the radio yesterday. A man, Mr. Joe Bird, he wanted to interview me on his radio, Blue Ridge Outdoor Radio Show. And we were talking about the world and society and things that were going on. And he asked me the question. He said, what should Christians be doing? What should we be doing concerning the state of affairs in America and around the world? And I didn't know what he was going to ask me, but I told him this. What should we be doing? Christians need to study their Bible. There is a great deficit in this day and time. Oh, there's a lot of people standing around and say they're Christian. But if you've got the Word of God and you don't know how to use it, you are unskilled. You're walking around wide open to the devil running all over you because you don't know how to use your greatest weapon, and that's the Word of God. We've got the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:15 says we ought to be able to give an answer to every man that asketh us the hope that is in us. When Satan came and tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, what did he use? He didn't say, all right, old devil, I've had enough of you. Let's go at it. He didn't put up his fist and want to fight him. He could defeat him anytime he wanted to. But you know what Jesus did? He said, it is written. And if the Lord Jesus knows how to use the Word of God skillfully against the devil, don't you think you and I ought to? What ought we to be doing? We better know what the Word of God says and know how to use it. We do have some weapons with us as the children of God. We've got the Word of God. We've got prayer. We've got faith. We've got truth. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has not left us defenseless, but do you know how to use what you got? We'd better learn to pray. We'd better learn to know what the Bible says. We'd better know how to use the Word of God in this society in which we live. And we'd better use our voices like the Old Testament prophets that lifted up their voices and said, cry aloud, spare not. We need to get the message out. We need to be skilled. They were skilled men. They could handle shield and buckler. Number six, the Bible says in verse number 8, look what it says. They were men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions. That's what the Bible says. You know what else about them? They were startling. They were startling in their appearance. What I mean by that, the dictionary definition of startling means suddenly impressing with fear or surprise. If you went home and there's a lion in your backyard, I bet you'd be startled. I was studying yesterday. I put this to the test. Of course, most of my tests fail. But I went upstairs and I asked Kim and Abigail, I said, of all the creatures that God made, which one most resembles a man? You know what they both said? A monkey. I don't know what they think I look like, but I don't think I look like a monkey. Let me say this for the evolution crowd. Monkeys don't even look like people. Their mouth is not the same. Their nose is not the same. Their ears are not the same. Their forehead's not the same. But that crowd tells us that that was our forefathers. I tell you, that's a lie. The Word of God doesn't say they had faces like monkeys. It said their faces were faces like a lion. And of all the creatures that God made, a lion has a most man-like face. The forehead, the set of the eyes, the width of the nose, the cheekbones. I'm not saying we descended from lions, but if you look at the face of a lion, in fact, we were watching the football game last night, and at the beginning of the game, you know, when it puts up their faces at the front, down at the bottom of the screen, and they tell their name and what college they went to. There's one old fella for the Eagles. Man, he had hair. He's a white guy. Had big old hair coming out of his head. Big old beard coming around. And I said, hey, that man has the face of a lion. He looks like a lion. Can you not see these guys? Man, they look like some of them big old football players. You wouldn't want to run into them in a dark alley and not be on their good side. They were startling. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1, it said the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We need some holy boldness among the people of God. We do. We sometimes look more like chickens than lions. But God intended for us to have faces like lions. These men had faces like lions. There was just something different about them is what the Bible says. Well, I'm going to move on. They were startling in their appearance. Number 7, they were swift, the Bible says, and were swift as the rose upon the mountains. What could we say about them being swift? They were men of action. They were men of great ability. They had energy. They had endurance. They had intellect. They had all these things. They were swift as the rose upon the mountains. I keep coming across this verse. Does this ever happen to you in your Christian life? You keep coming across a verse. That's God trying to tell you something. John 9 and 4, I seen it last night on a piece of mail. I'd had it in my mind. A missionary had put it down at the bottom of his letter. John 9 and 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. What we're going to do, we'd better do for God. Because time is of the essence. Time is quickly running out. Moses said, or David said, Psalms 90 and verse number 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We've only got a few days to work for our Lord. What we're going to do, we'd better do quickly. Because I hope the Lord's coming soon, don't you? Boy, the world's in a mess. I hope the Lord's coming quick. If the Lord's coming quick, then what we're going to do, we'd better quickly do. One of these days the Lord will come and we'll go to heaven saying, I always meant to do this. Always wanted to do this. We'd better do it. Say, what are we going to do? We better do it this year. Might be the last opportunity. We better not say we need to sit down and think about this. We need to say we need to get busy and do this. Time's running out. They didn't wait around to see what was going to happen. They went ahead and got on the right side. They got on David's side. Now quickly, let me go on down and show you one more thing. They were spiritual. They were spiritual men. Verse 17 said, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there's no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. David wasn't afraid of these men. He went out and met them, told him what he thought. Just laid it all out on the table before they come any further. But I really like verse 18. It says, then the Spirit came upon Amaziah. Now, his name means burdensome, to load down. And here's old Amaziah, and he's the leader of the pack, we might say. And the Word of God says the Spirit came upon this man whose name means a burden. You know, the Old Testament prophets, they called their messages the burden of the Lord. Say, preacher, why do you preach like you preach? Because you got a burden. When you got a burden, you can't preach anything else. You just got to give what's on your heart. And boy, Lola Masiah, the Spirit of God came upon this man. And the Bible says, as we read on down, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee. Peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Do you know that's the only place in the Bible where you find peace? Three times that close together. Here is a great, mighty man. Here is a soldier, a man of war, a man of might. He has a spear, a shield, a buckler, a sword, a bow, an arrow. He is fit for the battle. But you know what? Nobody wants peace more than those that are realize what's really at stake. He said, David, I didn't come to fight. He said, I want peace more than anything else. He said, David, don't take me wrong. I may look like I'm a little rough. I may look like I'm ready to fight. It's because I am. But he said, I want peace more than anything else. Peace, David. Lord God, I want peace. I want to go home to my wife and my children and my family. I want to live. I don't want to do this my whole life. I want peace. I want peace. Boy, I got to studying about that. I thought to myself, boy, what a great lesson from the Word of God. What a great picture that we have of this warrior. That of all things, of all the people in the Bible that mention the word peace, he says it more than anybody else. You know what? Peace is, it does not come by accident. But it is kept by armed men. Did you know that? Peace is kept by strength of arms. That's how peace comes. Somebody was talking the other day and they talked about in America, what is it going to come to? Will we have to take up arms against our government one day? You know what? No, we won't have to, because we already have arms. And our having of arms prevents us from having to take up arms. Say, what's so important about it? We want peace. Want peace more than anything else. There's a great lesson in this if we would learn it in the day and time in which we live. And this great warrior says, David, I just want peace. And I want peace to thine helpers. For thy God helpeth thee. He wasn't just some killing machine out here. He was a spiritual man. And he wanted peace. And he was willing to do what needed to be done in order to keep peace. Isn't that a great blessing? From the Word of God's direction, from the Word of God. So we come down and we see these men were spiritual men. The Spirit came upon him. And I go back to verse number 8 in closing. And in all the things we could study about David's mighty men, they were fit for the battle. They were fit for the battle. Are you fit for the battle? There's going to be battles in your life in the years to come. In the year to come. How are you going to handle? How are you going to deal with it? Whose strength are you going to fight them in? I'm not going to re-preach the message this morning. Are you fit for the battle? You know where to get your strength from. Do you have it? Are you separated unto the Lord Jesus? Do you know how to use the Word of God? I'd like for us today to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to come to the instruments and Brother Dale to get us a song.